Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike.
Over the years, we've talked a lot about dementia, a little bit less about delirium. Today, we're going to talk about delirium. You've chosen a poem from the New England Journal of Medicine. I'll give the citations in a moment. But it talks about delirium. And just as a reminder, sometimes delirium and dementia are sort of confused. Delirium, on one hand, is an acute confusional state. Patients are unable to focus or sustain or shift their attention. In contrast to dementia, delirium is usually something that develops over a short period of time, often in hours or days. And within a 24-hour period, it often fluctuates. That's not the case with dementia, which develops over a long period of time. And perhaps there are waxing and waning, but it tends not to fluctuate quite as much. Delirium is typically caused by a variety of a very discrete actions, such as a medical condition, often drug use, and by that I mean prescription drug use, some sort of substance intoxication or a side effect. There's evidence on how to manage delirium, but it's difficult to get good evidence because a controlled trial, as listeners might suspect, is really difficult to perform because patients have cognitive impairment. So prevention is really where attention focuses, and there are lots of things that we know that we should be doing, such as avoiding factors that cause or aggravate delirium, making sure that patients are on medications that they absolutely need to be on, paying attention to hydration and immobilization and sensory impairment, and perhaps at the very top of the list, maybe should be paying attention to their sleep needs, treating underlying illnesses, et cetera. The poem that you've chosen comes from the New England Journal of Medicine. It's an electronic version, so I'm not going to give you a page number because I don't have one here, but it does attempt to answer the question, does the use of antipsychotics decrease the duration of delirium, specifically in critically ill patients with respiratory failure or shock? What did they find?
Well, I think this is a real, should be a real practice changer for those of our listeners who are caring for hospitalized patients and patients in the ICU. This study included critically ill patients, as you said, with delirium who were using either mechanical ventilation, required a vasopressor, or needed an intra-aortic balloon pump. So pretty sick folks, quite common to see delirium in this setting. The patients were randomized to get either IV Haldol, 2.5 milligrams, ziprasidone, which is Geodon, 5 milligrams, or placebo of normal saline. Patients 70 years or older got half of the dose. Doses were given every 12 hours and were doubled up to the maximum dose if a patient still had delirium, or they were halved to a minimum if the patient didn't have delirium for two consecutive assessments. And once they were delirium-free for four consecutive assessments, they withheld the medication. Treatment continued for 2 weeks or until they were discharged from the ICU. Therapy was stopped, obviously, if they developed a serious complication like neuroleptic malignant syndrome or a drug reaction or torsade de pointe. Of the 20,000 patients screened over a six-year period, 566 met the criteria and agreed to participate. So pretty well-powered trial, 566 patients. Patients in the three groups were similar at baseline. Almost 90% had hypoactive delirium at the time of randomization. Analysis was by intention to treat. And the results are that neither drug significantly increased the number of days alive without delirium or coma. It was 8.5 days with placebo, 8 days with Haldol, 8.7 with ziprasidone. So no significant difference across groups. There were no differences in 30-day or 90-day survival, ICU discharge or readmission, hospital discharge. Not surprisingly, excessive sedation was the most common safety endpoint and didn't differ between the active treatment groups. So I think the bottom line is that for patients with acute respiratory failure and shock and probably other patients with delirium in the ICU, Haldol or Geodon don't reduce the duration of delirium or its severity. This was powered to detect at least a two-day difference in the duration of delirium. So it's possible there might be a small effect of maybe a one-day reduction, but that seems unlikely based on the results that were reported. So the question is, will it change behavior?
Yeah. Will it change physician behavior, you mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of it's sort of standing orders, right? Anyways, we'll see. My question is more a methodologic question. And one of the goals that we have for these POEMS is to have an expert like you help us talk through and understand a little bit about the research as well as findings. So I'm just wondering, Mark, not to put you on the spot, but how, when you have a large number of patients and you've got 566 of them who agree to participate, how do you measure agreement to participate in a group who are previously defined as being delirious?
That's a good question. And generally, you can, there are a couple of ways to do that. In kind of a dramatic example is studies of CPR, different approaches to CPR. And there they actually get permission from the Institutional Review Board to do the study and then retroactively seek permission to be part of the trial. And if the patient or their surrogate decision maker rejects that permission, their data removed from the trial and they stop being part of it. You know, it's obviously impossible to get consent before CPR when someone's lying there pulseless. In this case, surrogate decision makers, so, you know, whoever is the surrogate for the patient can go ahead and give consent.
Well, it's an impressive number of patients in the study, so they did a good job of doing that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again next week.
Look forward to it.
Well, that's this week's POEM. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent POEMs, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical POEM.